All right, we are on the air. All right, so I just got a few shoutouts that were sent in. One of them was sent in by Rafael Menachem. I don't see him here yet. Anyway, he asked like this. If you want to give someone tzedakah, but you've already given away all your meiser money, so you are allowed to give meiser now for future earnings. So let's say you'll give $100 now. So the next $1,000 that you earn, oh, my video's off. I forgot about that. Anyway, so the next $1,000 that you earn, you don't have to give meiser because you already gave it. So we asked, even if Rosh Hashanah comes, it doesn't stop that calculation. And therefore, even if you are, let's say, ahead of the game, you give an extra $100 in meiser money, that will carry over till the next year. And the next $1,000 that you earn, it will be as if you already gave the meiser money. Another side was sent in, was using a glass cup for par stuff, but at milchik meals and fleishig meals. We discussed once here if you can use a glass cup for hot fleishig and hot milchik. The svardim are allowed to. So our two holy svardim that are joining tonight or more, they are allowed to use glass for hot milchik and hot fleishig. The Ashkenazim are not allowed to. But what about using it for par, but at a milchik meal and also at a fleishig meal? So the letter of the law would allow that, since it's par and it's clean, so it's fine. Just if you're going to do that, you have to be very careful that it actually is clean and that you don't have residue of milk or meat from the previous meals, which you probably would want to do anyway. But it is fine to use that as both meals. Next shaila was a mezuzah. If someone's leaving an apartment or a house, can he take the mezuzah down, take it with him? It's his favorite mezuzah. He's had it since he's been born. He loves that mezuzah. Can he, or it's very expensive, he wants it. Is he allowed to take that mezuzah with him wherever he goes? So it's tricky because you're not allowed to leave a house without a mezuzah. And therefore, if you're moving out, you have to make sure the mezuzah is there. So you have two choices. You can either leave it or buy a different one and switch. Take your favorite one with you. What, Aaron?
Oops, sorry. I had the audio on.
No problem. So you're allowed to take the mezuzah with you, but you have to leave another mezuzah there. Now, the only exception is if a guy is going to move in. If a guy is moving in, then you have to take the mezuzahs down. That people shouldn't think a Jew lives there when it's really a guy. Okay, so if you're moving out, you cannot leave the house without a mezuzah unless a guy is moving in. And if you want to take your mezuzah with you, you must switch and give a different mezuzah there. Another person asked, what happens if, this person, he had a very bad sunburn and was peeling. Very itchy, scratchy, and peeling. Is he allowed to scratch it on Shabbos? By scratching on Shabbos, he'll be peeling off the skin of his sunburn. Are you allowed to peel off dry skin? The answer is no, you're not. And whether it's a fingernail, dry skin by the nails, or in this case, by the body, you're not allowed to peel off dry skin. Now, if you are in tremendous pain, then there is room to be lenient since it's dry skin and you can take it off with your hands, not with a special instrument. So then there are those that may be lenient, but again, only if it's severe pain and only if it's dead skin, not dry, not the live skin, which you probably wouldn't want to do anyway. So that is a heter, but better to just suck it up and wait till after Shabbos. And the last question someone sent in that we'll discuss was, can you do Shnai Mikra V'yachat Targum at night? So, like this, if there's a mitzvah, everyone should know about it and perhaps do it, of Shnai Mikra, which means every week, the parasha, you should learn it twice and do one Targum, either Unkelus or Rashi. The question is, can you do it at night? The answer is, you absolutely can do it at night, even though some say you shouldn't learn Torah Shelechsav at night. But it's not an Avera, first of all. And because you're doing the Targum is considered Torah Sheval Peh. And therefore, it's considered a Limud of Torah Sheval Peh, and you're allowed to do that at night. Okay, so these were some of the shayos that were sent in. Now, getting back to our regularly scheduled program, I owe Yoni, who is not here right now, but he'll hear the recording. Yoni asked at the end of last year, what about Havdalah after Shabbos Rosh Hashanah? So this year, Rosh Hashanah is Shabbos Sunday. So what happens, we discussed last week about the Havdalah from Sunday night to Monday. And that Havdalah is just wine, no Esh, no fire, no Besamim. But what about Saturday night, going from first Ayyantah to second Ayyantah? So there are two things that happen. First of all, in davening, we say Vatodienu. We're going to say Vatodienu in davening, similar to the Atachon Antanu. So, but this is Vatodienu in the Machzer. But in addition to that, during Kiddush, by second night Rosh Hashanah, we're going to be doing what's called Yak Nahaz, Yayin Kiddush Ner Havdalah Zman, which means Bray Pia Gafen, then the Kiddush of Rosh Hashanah, and then we're going to do Ner, which is tricky. You're not allowed to strike a match and light the Havdalah candle. You are allowed to transfer fire to the Havdalah candle, but then you can't blow it out. So then your Havdalah candle is going to be burning for the next 18 hours. You probably don't want that. So there are three options. Option number one, which is what most people do, which is to take two of the Shabbos candles and put them together, say Berei Mirei Esh, and then separate them. The problem with that is not everyone likes the idea of separating them, because maybe that's considered a form of kiboy, a form of extinguishing, because you had this big flame and now you're making a smaller flame. Some are hesitant to do that. Others want to say, just do one single candle. That's it. I mean, you have a lot of Shabbos candles. Just say Berei Mirei Esh on those candles, and that is sufficient. Even though normally we want to have two wicks, here you can go ahead and be lenient with one. Others want to say, or sell, they sell, it's a Yak Nahaz candle, which is like a half-hour burning candle that has a double wick. But if you can't buy it, you probably can make it. You could like double wick the wick of a tea light. But that would be another idea, and then it would burn a lot quicker and go out a lot sooner. Okay, that was a makeup from last week from Rosh Hashanah. Moving on. Okay, this is primarily Hilchos Yom Kippur, but right after Rosh Hashanah, we get a practice for Yom Kippur. We get Tzom Gedalia, right? We get the practice fasting. See if you do a good job. Tzom Gedalia is a regular fast day. Everyone should fast it unless you are pregnant or nursing. Pregnant or nursing should not fast. Otherwise, you should try to fast it. And it has the regular halachas like any other tainus. Now, fine. During Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we say Avinu Malkeinu every day. We say Slichos every day. If you're davening without a minyan, which may happen these days, you still say Avinu Malkeinu and you still say Slichos. You just don't say the Yid Gimel Midos or Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. Kiddush Levana could be done Shabbos Shuvah, Matzei Shabbos Shuvah, but the minhag is to do Kiddush Levana after Yom Kippur, when we're happier and more at ease, and then you should eat something, put your shoes on, and then do Kiddush Levana. But some people want to do it right away, and it's fine, but the ideal would be to do Kiddush Levana after you ate and after you put your shoes on. Okay, so for those who just joined us, we are in the middle of Hilchos Yom Kippur. Now, there is, during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, besides all the additions that we do during davening, we also, there's a minhag to take on added chumras. The whole year round, we don't run after chumras, but during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, we do want to take on a chumra, and the chumra Shulchan Aruch brought down is Pas Yisrael. What Pas Yisrael is, Arnold's bread, Cheerios, those things are not Pas Yisrael. If you buy from Yankel's Bakery, that is Pas Yisrael. So what Pas Yisrael means, it was baked by a Jewish baker. Now, even the whole year round, we're not makbid on that, or not everyone's makbid on that. And you can buy any bread as long as it has an OU in there that had kosher supervision, and that's fine. But during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, there is a minhag to take on this chumrah. Now, if you can't do this for whatever reason, take on some other chumrah. The idea is we're not trying to trick Hashem. Oh, look, we're so from. But what we are trying to do is show him that, you know, this is a serious time. We take it seriously. We're trying to improve our ways. And for 1 week, we're going to take on this added chumrah. So the Shulchan Aruch recommends Pas Yisrael. You could do that. You could do others. That is one halacha right down. Another one. Now we're moving on to Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah to eat. The mitzvah is to eat every second. Everything that you eat, even sucking candies perhaps, is a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a machlokes if this mitzvah starts at night. Some want to say it starts only during the day of Erev Yom Kippur. Others say it starts even at night. And also machlokes if it applies to women. Do women have the mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur? But they definitely should not fast. And most likely they do get the mitzvah. And therefore we recommend men and women eating a lot and often Erev Yom Kippur starting from night time. We do not say Tachanan or Avinu Malkeinu or Lamnat Seach or Mizmor L'Seida on Erev Yom Kippur. It's a Yantif, and we do not say those tefillas. Now, there is a minhag of having a Suda on Erev Yom Kippur, a fancy Suda, before the Suda Mafsekes, before Mincha, a Suda in the morning, like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, to have a Suda, some have it with Lechem Mishnah, and to have it with fish. That's a minhag brought down. There's special schools behind that. Highly recommended to have a meal, real meal, with fish before Mincha. And then you have Mincha. Also to have kreplach. There's a minhag to have kreplach. Kreplach are meat hidden in dough. A lot of spooky stuff behind that, but it is a good idea to have kreplach as well. Okay, this is all sudas and eating of Erev Yom Kippur. Now there's another minhag of kaparis. Now kaparis can be done anytime during the Seder Sfei Teshuva. The ideal time is early dawn of Erev Yom Kippur. That's the ideal time, but it can be done anytime during Aser Sfei Teshuva. The minhag is to do it with either chickens or money. So whichever one is better or easier or whatever your family minhag is. If you are a male, you take a male chicken. If you are a female, you take a female chicken. If you are a female who is pregnant with a male, so then you take a male and a female chicken and put it over your head and say Zeh Halifasi, etc. If you cannot afford multiple chickens for your 18 kids, you can take one chicken and do everybody with that. You can even mix up boy and girl. It just may, there's no problem with mixing up boy and girl also. It probably won't lead to any problems, probably. But anyway, it's okay if you mix it up. But ideally, boy chickens for boys, girl chicken for girls. Fine, that is kaparis. Next, during Aseres Mei Tshuva, and especially Erev Yom Kippur, you want to work on doing tshuva, looking into your ways, but part of that is asking mechila from the people who you may have offended, hurt, stole, etc. So it's time to do some deep soul searching and realize who is that person that perhaps you got angry, perhaps you owe money to, and now's the time to make that phone call. Maybe you could do a text, but perhaps it's better just pick up the phone or go visit him and do it. If you do not do it and that person passes away, you need to go to his kever with 10 people and ask mechila there. And that is way more awkward than just calling him up and asking him. So highly recommended to do it while he's alive or she is alive and ask mechila. And if it's embarrassing to say what you did or you may embarrass him, so maybe you could just say, please be mechila me, generically. But it definitely is better if you were to say exactly what you did. Fine. There's another meaning of going to the mikvah. Erev Yom Kippur, if you're afraid because of corona, that's fine. Just take a long shower. It's called Tisha Kavin. Take a long shower, but otherwise, go to the mikvah, go to the lake. Fine. Moving on. Vidoy. There is a mitzvah of doing Vidoy Erev Yom Kippur. Binyamin, you have something to say? Okay. There is a minhag of doing Vidoy Erev Yom Kippur. We do it in Mincha Shmona Esrei. But let's say you forgot to put it into your mincha. You daven a regular mincha. It's okay. Don't repeat Shmona Esrei, but go back and say Vidoy by itself. You can say Vidoy even not in Shmona Esrei. So you want to say Mincha Shmona Esrei with Vidoy, but if you forgot it, say anytime. There's another minhag of saying Vidoy again after the Suda Mafsekes. After you ate your Suda Mafsekes to do Vidoy again. Not a Chiv, but a good recommendation. Good idea to do Vidoy again. Now, Mincha does not have Avinu Malkeinu. It does not have Tachanon. When you're doing Vidoy, you must do Vidoy standing up. The whole Yom Kippur and Erev Yom Kippur, you cannot be sitting or leaning. When you're doing Vidoy, you must be standing up. Okay? Now, there we go. Yes. Now, the Suda Mafsekes should and has to be eaten before Shkia. Once Shkia comes, you can no longer eat. You have to switch out of your shoes, etc. So you want to finish your Suda Mafsekes before Shkia. Once you bench, it's best to say that you're not accepting the fast yet, and that way you can still eat and drink afterwards. Once you say, I am accepting Kedushas Yom Kippur, then you have accepted Kedushas Yom Kippur. You need to switch out of your shoes, no more washing, etc., no more eating. There is a mitzvah to add on to Yom Kippur, and therefore you would want to add on a little bit before Shkia and say with your mouth, I am accepting Kedushas Yom Kippur, and then it has started, and you get a mitzvah for doing that. Okay, you light Shabbos candles or Yom Kippur candles. You say two brachas. The women who light it make two brachas, La'alik Nesha Yom Kippurim and Shechianu. The men will make a Shechianu in Shul later on. Now, That is as far as candles. There is a minhag of lighting a yahrzeit candle, not only for people who are saying yizkor. And by the way, you can say yizkor at home even if you're by yourself. You say yizkor and you light candles before a yontif. But even those people who do not need to light a yahrzeit candle for any relatives, there's a minhag to light what's called a gezuntlich. It's just a yahrzeit candle for themselves. And not that they're bad, but they're good. And that they should live the whole year. So there is a minhag of lighting an extra yahrzeit candle for you yourself. One for the whole family is fine. And you're going to use that candle after Yom Kippur, which we'll get to soon. Fine. That's as far as candles. Put on your talis for Kol Nidre while it's still daytime and make a bracha. Do not make a bracha once it's after Shkia. And that is a story. Now, moving on to the actual Yom Kippur day, it is asur to eat on Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to eat anything, not a little drink, not a little snack, zero, nothing. Now, if you need to take a pill for medicinal purposes, you have a terrible headache you need to lay down, or you're taking an antibiotic, or your blood pressure medicine, or whatever, heart medicine, whatever medicines are important, you can take them on Yom Kippur. However, try to take them without water. If that is not possible, what you want to do is make a disgusting water, like very strong tea scents, very bitter lemon, something that you will wrinkle your nose up when you drink it. Therefore, there'll be no pleasure from it. It's not considered drinking. So then you can take your pill and get that down. Okay, that's as far as eating and drinking. As far as washing your hands, you're not allowed to wash any part of your body with any type of water if it's for your pleasure. If you have filth, disgusting something anywhere, you can wash it off. But just to wash, because to refresh yourself of any way, you're not allowed to do it. When you wake up in the morning, or you come out of the bathroom, or you're kohen and you're duchening, so then you are allowed to wash up until the end of your fingers, so the last knuckle. That's it. Not the palm, last knuckle. Once your hands are wet, take them and wipe your eyes. You don't want to do an extra washing for your eyes. But you can do it on the water that's left on your fingers that you are allowed to do. As far as your mouth, you're not allowed to rinse out your mouth with water. You're not allowed to use scope, etc. If you are in tremendous tsar, pain, discomfort, or perhaps your neighbor in shul is not social distancing and he will be in pain if you do not wash out, so perhaps you're allowed to, but you have to be very careful not to swallow. And it's only if it's severe. If you have severe bad breath or severe discomfort, so then okay, but better to avoid it if you can. Moving on. Okay, shoes. Do not wear leather shoes. If the shoe has a little bit of leather, you also don't wear it. If they are sneakers and they don't have leather, you can wear them. If, however, the whole year round you wear sneakers and you're going to wear them Yom Kippur, so then there's been no change, so then you should not wear sneakers. Only wear sneakers. If normally you don't wear sneakers, then on Yom Kippur you can wear sneakers. But if you normally wear sneakers, don't wear them on Yom Kippur, even though they do not have leather. Do not wear deodorant on. You can wear put deodorant on before Yom Kippur, but on Yom Kippur, do not put on deodorant. It is forbidden to be with your wife or your wife to be with your husband. They cannot, no tashamita, and you should not touch. You should keep harchakas on Yom Kippur as well. Next. No going to the mikvah on Yom Kippur, whether you're male or whether you're female, there is no mikvah on Yom Kippur. Now, as far as children goes, children that are 3 years and older, you should start doing chinuch with them as far as switching shoes, which they like to do anyway, but you definitely should encourage it. Don't force it, encourage it. But as far as eating goes, only for when they're 9 and up, you start encouraging to start fasting a few hours. Again, not forcing because they're not chayav to do it. But from 9 and up, you start encouraging to fast a few hours. Now, if you are pregnant or you are nursing, you have to fast. If the doctor says it's dangerous for you or your baby to fast on Yom Kippur, you listen to him. But you try not to eat a lot. You try to do what's called shiurim, which we'll discuss soon. Shiurim are eating in small amounts. So if the doctor says you need to eat, just double check with him that if you eat a little bit in small increments, if that's okay. If he says that's okay, well, then that's what you should do. If you just had a baby, you are 3 days after baby, which I don't know if anyone here will be like that, but if you're 3 days after baby, then you do not fast. But if you're more than 3 days after baby, then it depends on how you're feeling and what the doctor says. If the doctor says you need to eat, you eat. If the sick person says, I'm going to die if I don't eat, so then he should eat, because it is a mitzvah to live. It is not a mitzvah to die. And therefore, you definitely should eat if you feel that you will die if you do not eat. You do not need to wait for a doctor to tell you that you will die. If you feel like that yourself, then you could eat. Next. Yeah. As far as shiurim goes, so someone who needs to eat based on doctor's advice or their own advice, what are shiurim? A beitza is the egg size, about the size of 2 ragalach. That's like the max. So you want to eat less than a beitza every 9 minutes, or it means space it out at least 9 minutes in between. So if someone has to eat, eat less than 2 ragalach worth every 9 minutes. If that's not enough, you can go down to 7 to 6 to 9. Sorry, not to 9. It's the wrong way. 7 to 6 to 5 to 4 to 3. 2 minutes. 2 minutes is the shortest shear. So if you need to eat a certain amount, at least space it out 2 minutes. If that's not enough for you, you might as well just eat, because that's eating anyway. As far as drinking goes, it's molly lugma, which means a cheekful. You should, if you need to drink, make sure you drink less than a cheekful, just a little bit less. I don't know exactly ounces. I'm assuming it's around 1.5 ounces, something like that. But you could check me on that. But I believe it's a cheekful. And that also should be spaced out 9 minutes down to 2 minutes if need be. Fine. That is someone who needs to eat or drink on Yom Kippur. Now, as far as davening goes, everyone should get a machzer and do what it says. But just a few things to keep an eye out for is tefillah zaka. Tefillah zaka is right around Kol Nidre time. Join that tefillah. It's a very holy tefillah. Part of that tefillah is we're being meichel everyone. It's a good idea to say it, and you want everyone else to say that as well. And we say Baruch Shem Kibbol Malach Shem Lamed out loud. Women can do that as well. And you do that during Kriya Shema Al Mita as well. So when you're home going to sleep, you can scream and should scream Baruch Shem Kibbol Malach Shem Lamed. And that is that. When you fall down during Musaf, you go all the way down to the ground. When you say the Shem Hashem, you go all the way down, put your face to the ground, just have a little paper, toilet or toilet paper or paper towel or towel on the floor between you and your face. But you do want your face going all the way down. Okay, duchening. If you're in Eretz Yisrael, which no one here is, so I'll skip that. In Chutz Laretz, we only duchen by Musaf. We do not duchen any other time. Ne'ila should be said as the sun is getting down by the trees. You want to finish Ne'ila before sunset. And that is important. At the end of Ne'ila, you blow the shofar. You are allowed to blow the shofar, even if it is Bein HaShmashos. Even if it's not Tzeis HaChacham yet, you are allowed. During Ne'ila, the Aron HaKodesh is open. You do not need to stand the whole Ne'ila. We spoke out last time, when the Aron HaKodesh is open, you do not need to stand. Only when the Sefer Torah is in motion. But if it's just open, you can sit down. Now, Yom Kippur is over. You're starving. You didn't daven Maariv yet. Here's the issue. You want to add on to Yom Kippur, at least 5 minutes. So let's say you add it on. You can now say Baruch HaMavdo Ben Kosh Lachol, switch into shoes, wash your hands if you want. But you still cannot eat until Havdalah. Just like Shabbos, also Yom Kippur, you cannot eat until Havdalah. So therefore, no taking a snack or anything. But water would be permitted, because you're allowed to have water before Havdalah. So if you feel terrible, awful, no good, say Baruch HaMavdil and take a drink of water, but just make sure you're at least 5 minutes after the time. Now you get home, you do Havdalah. Havdalah is no besamim, wine and fire. But this fire is not the regular fire. You want to do a transfer. You want to take your yahrzeit candle and use that and another thing, stick it in or transfer it from that. You don't want to strike a match. You don't want to use a new fire. You want to transfer from an existing fire. Now, on Matzah Yom Kippur, it's a good idea to start building your sukkah. You do not need to finish it, but you should start building your sukkah. Okay, that is a wrap on Hilchos Yom Kippur. Next week, we'll start Hilchos Sukkah. We'll do it in two parts. First part will be sukkah. Second part will be lulav and all the other da'aminim. I'll just say a short vart on the parsha. Parsha's Kisavoy is filled with klalos, curses. The Gemara says that we want to lay in Parsha Kisavo before Yom Kippur, sorry, before Hashanah, that the year should end and the klalos should end as well, like get them over with. Which is interesting, just because we read the klalos, it doesn't really mean, oh, now they're over with. But what it means probably is, it's supposed to awaken us, listen to these klalos, understand that based on your actions, you brought about them or could bring them about, and that hopefully will inspire in you to make a change And therefore, the klalos will never be relevant. But so as we listen to Kriyas HaTorah this week, listen to the klalos, let that be a wake-up call. We don't want that happening to us. One other thing, it's interesting, in this week's parasha, it's related a little bit. The Torah says you forgot to make a bracha. There's a story with the Chassam Sofer. Every morning, a certain bacher would bring the Chassam Sofer a cup of coffee and a piece of cake. Every morning. One morning, the bacher was tempted, and he took the piece of cake for himself, and he ate it, and he only brought the Chassam Sofer a cup of coffee. Now, the Chassam Sofer didn't say anything. The bacher thought that he didn't realize it. He was off the hook. Later in the day, Chassam Sofer went over to his bacher and said, listen, I know you ate my piece of cake. But he said, listen to me. The reason that I know is not because I love cake. It's because I remember that I did not make a mezonos today. And because of you, I didn't make a mezonos. The idea was that Chassam Sofer would eat not for the enjoyment of the cake, but for the ability to make a bracha. And that was like something that was wild, that how much we forget to make brachas and how much we like stuff our faces just for the fun. But he was the other way around, that he was saying, listen, I want to eat these things just so that I can make a bracha. So Mr. Bacher, you took my cake. I don't care about the cake, but I care about the bracha that I'm not able to make. And that is a wrap. Have a very good Shabbos. And Mishnah next week, same time, different topic. Have a wonderful Shabbos. And I have to run to Marv. If anyone has any questions.
Thank you. Skoyer, Rabbi. Thank you so much.
Goodbye, Chazal. Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, Mom. Goodbye, Aaron. Goodbye, Susie. Goodbye, Benjamin. Goodbye, Rebecca.
Have a great night. Great Shabbos.
Amen. You too.
Hi.
Who's Rebecca calling?
Alex Siegel.
Hello, Alex Siegel. Nice to see you-ish. Anyway, bye, bye. We got your bracha for the bar mitzvah. Thank you very much.
Ah, thank you for the invite.
Skyach. All right, we'll be in touch. I got to run. Goodbye, Benjamin. Goodbye, Mom. Goodbye, Alex and wife. Bye-bye.